Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamut. Tonight we're in part 83 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And we're going to, this is program number 185. So if you'd like a copy of it, it is program 185. And we'll give you, at the end of this program, Sharon will tell you how you can receive the program four different ways. And please specify whether you want an audio tape or CD. It's free. The postage and handling are absolutely free. Everything is free. If you need a Bible to study, we give the King James Version, so there's no point in asking for any other version. And it'll be yours. We also have Messiah books and a lot of different literature that I've written down through the past, and that'll be yours too, absolutely free. God gave me salvation freely, and I want to give everything that the Lord gives me out to people freely. And maybe some ministers don't feel that way, but that's the way I feel. And but we have some letters today. And we have, as I said, part 83 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Almighty God. I know that the presence of the Lord is in me right now because I've been born again of the Spirit. And I pray that the presence of the Lord is in you as well. And I pray also that you will pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I sought for it after I was saved. For around 3 years before I received it. And I really knew that it was an addition to salvation. It is the very Spirit that God says will have power after we receive it. There was a closed room where the disciples were. They were frightened right after the Lord's crucifixion. But after he resurrected, they were still locked up because some of them didn't believe that he had risen from the dead. And he appeared to them in the room, and he stated that he was flesh and blood and bone. And one of the doubters, Doubting Thomas, was there as well. And beforehand, he had stated that I will not believe that he's risen from the dead unless I can thrust my hand into his side and poke my fingers through his hands where the nails were driven. And while he was in the, while Jesus was in the room with them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so this was the initial, preliminary infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that they were saved now. And then he said, "But I want you to tarry in Jerusalem, don't go until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit," which is the Spirit that people receive that they may have power, they may be empowered to be in the ministry. Being in the ministry is not, would be impossible because the ministry is very rough, but when you receive power, after you receive power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are empowered to be a minister, a teacher, a preacher, or prophet. And then the flack that you receive doesn't bother you that much. We've had, I mean personally, have had, and the people in the church have had a lot of persecution down through the years, because the Bible says that we're in a very dark world, and this world is in darkness, and when the Lord came into the world, he brought light. And then when he resurrected into the kingdom of heaven, just before that, he said to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they gathered together after his resurrection. There were 500 people that saw him ascend in a cloud into the kingdom of God. And then only 120 of them showed up. What happened to the rest of them? The 350. I mean, some people can see incredible miracles. What would you do if you saw a man raising up into the kingdom of God in a cloud and he's instructing you that he's going to send the Comforter down to live within us so that we can be the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. But we can't really be the continuation of his incarnation, I mean, like he was in the ministry, unless we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's obvious that we don't have power until the Holy Spirit comes upon us, because he said, ye shall have power after the Holy Spirit descends on you, after you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it only, he said this after they blew the Holy Spirit into them. So that was temporary, but you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you need the power to go through the tribulations. Now, I know that there's a lot of false prophets telling you that we're going to be raptured out of the tribulations, but that's contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says that we're going to be taken by the Lord immediately after the tribulations. So you have to remember that. Well, anyway, here's Thomas in the room, and so the Lord, he says, Thomas, he said that you wouldn't believe on me until you thrust your hand into my side and put your fingers into the nail-pierced hands of mine. Now go ahead and stuff your hand into me. And I'm not a spirit, I'm flesh and bone. This is a resurrected human body. And I'm going to be translated into an ecclesiastical body. And then I'm going to be, then I'm going away, and I'm going to send myself, the Comforter, into you so that you'll have the same strength, the power of God in you and on you to be able to preach the gospel. Now, there's a lot of preachers that are not really preachers, they're false prophets. They memorize scriptures, but they memorize it in the letter. And some of the times when they are preaching, you can feel the presence of the Lord. Even if a parrot or one of these magpies, where you split their tongue, and if they knew the scriptures, you'd feel the Holy Spirit on them, because the scriptures are the Holy Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus said, are spirit, in other words, Holy Spirit, supernatural, not natural, but there's super in the natural of the Holy Spirit. And he says, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Now, a lot of the Bible tells us to eat this, to take the seed, which is the Word of God, after we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit and sow it into the world. Because the Holy Spirit is when the Word in the Spirit, when the anointing comes down from the kingdom of heaven, for those that pray for the anointing to happen, well, the Lord God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, speaks right out of your mouth, as he's doing with me right now. There's something that the Spirit does when it's being preached to you that moves inside of you and makes you to know that it's God doing the talking. Now, some people have a habit of eating the seed. You know, if you have a bag of seed out in the garage, and you're so afraid that you're not going to have a harvest if you plant it, and you're hungry, so you eat the seed, you're not going to have a harvest, are you? No, because you ate all the seed up, okay? Well, a lot of people that call themselves Christians have a habit of eating the seed, but they never plant it. They don't sow it. In order to sow the seed of the Word of God, you have to preach the Word to people. A lot of people say, well, my parents and my grandmother and father, or my sons and daughter and my friends are not saved. Will you pray that they get saved? The Bible says that people don't get saved by praying. They get saved by the Word being preached to them in the Spirit. And so if you're a Christian that has never preached the gospel to anybody, that you just think you're so pious, you've seen the picture of the old man sitting at the table with a couple of loaves of bread there and a little bowl full of bananas and oranges and apples, and he's praying. Praying is extremely good, because this is where our power comes from. But if you're going to win souls, you have to preach the gospel to them, all right? Because it's the Word of God that builds up faith, and it's which is also the seed that you have to sow. You can't just eat the Word and not sow it. You have to take the bag of wheat or whatever you've got in the barn that you want to sow into the ground if you want to have a harvest. Okay? So you just you say, well, I don't know, maybe there'll be a rainstorm or a freeze or something, and maybe this wheat won't come up, and so therefore I'm just wasting this wheat if I throw it in the ground, or if it's oats or milo or whatever kind of seed you want to plant, or if the trees or something like that, fruit-bearing trees, so I'll just eat the seeds up. That'll do it. And I don't understand how people believe that after you've heard 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 messages, or even one or two messages, and you receive them into your body, in other words, you eat the seed, but you don't take the seed, the things that you hear, and then plant them into other people, because that's what the Lord has called us for, that's what He saved us for. I was talking to a man that came over to my house today, and he wants to be, he is presently a judge. And he wanted me to have the folks that believe in my ministry in the general area to vote for him. He says, I'm a Baptist, and I believe that Jesus Christ has done all the work. He's planted all the seed. He's done all these things, so we don't have to do anything. I says, well, I don't. He says, I know what you believe. I know what you believe. But he says, I believe that I'm saved, and there's no way I can fall away. And I says, okay. He said, and I know what you believe. In other words, he didn't want me to say it. He heard me maybe on tape or read my literature and things like that, but he didn't want me in person to have the guts enough to say to a judge in my area where we have a church and everything, well, judge, you're wrong. He says, now, you know, I just won't, I don't care if 1,000 people tell me, you know, that we don't have to sow seed and all this sort of thing, that we could just eat all the seed up. He didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. That, you know, I know I'm saved because Jesus is the one that sowed the seed. This, the Bible says that the sower has got to go out into the field and sow. Because you can till the ground. You can know the gospel. You can just fill yourself full of seed. But if you don't plant it, it's not going to bring forth a harvest of souls for the Lord. And if you have a field and you till it and put fertilizer out there and you water it and everything, but there's no seed in the ground, my friend, you're not going to receive a harvest. All right? And if you plant just one seed out there, you'll get one seed back. If you plant two seeds, you'll get two. I'm the type of a person, I've always been considered, Tony, you're like an overkill person. I like to sow hundreds of millions and trillions of bags of seed everywhere, because the world is the ground that we sow it into, the people in the world. And I want a large harvest, and I know the Lord wants a large harvest. He says, go out into all the world and preach this gospel. Those that believe, in other words, that they have to sow seed, they have to take it into them, and then they, like, we're bags of seed, and then we have to take the seed and sow it throughout the world if we're going to expect a harvest. And so he says, you know, those that believe in the word, which is the seed, shall be saved. And those that just eat the seed and don't believe that you have to sow it, they shall be damned. Or those that don't receive the seed at all, they'll be damned. So I hate to tell the judge, you know, I mean, but you're damned. I mean, he just doesn't want to hear the truth. Why? Because he wants to remain a judge, and he knows that a lot of the people won't vote for him if he he preaches the gospel to them. In other words, the judge knows somebody is a drug addict, and, well, you know, if you're a drug addict, you're going to go to hell. I don't believe I have to do that, he's saying. I believe that only Jesus, he did all the work. This is some Baptist doctrine. And once saved, always saved. I'm not going to hell. Well, he just loves to make up his own Bible. He doesn't want to hear the truth because the love of the truth does not exist in him. But I pray this evening that you receive what I'm saying, what the Bible says, and that you'll receive the seed, and then also you'll begin sowing the seed out into the world. And if you don't know how to preach right now, you may be getting saved today, tonight, this afternoon, whenever you're hearing this broadcast, this morning. But you may not know how to present the gospel as well as you will in a half a year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15 years, if there were that much time left. But at least you could distribute my literature, because you can easily see that by these letters that we're going to read pretty soon here, that people are receiving the seed in them from this literature. And you can be a distributor of the literature, the Messiah books, and you can, the people that need Bibles, you can let them know, or will you can order them from me and you'll get them absolutely free. So there's no excuse for you to not be in the ministry. No, but you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can have power to endure any of the fiery darts that comes your way through persecution and character assassination, people saying all kinds of evil things about you. If we weren't doing a job for the Lord, there would be no persecution whatsoever. If your church or the people, you're not receiving persecution for the gospel's sake, well, you know, there must be something wrong with your doctrine. It could be that you're just an eater of seed and not a sower of seed. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to pour out his outward anointing, the power of God, on this service today, and that it'll be God saying whatever it is that he wills to be said. This we're actually preaching this evening, and we know that many of our programs run in the mornings, afternoons, and evenings. So, Lord, that you pour out your anointing, that you'll speak through me in the name of Jesus, and that we pray, Lord, that that the souls are being prepared to receive your word, the seed, that the seed may start growing in them, because your word also is the water that waters the seed and makes the seed grow. Now, the seed, the book of Genesis states, is Jesus. Because Jesus, the Bible also says in the book of Revelation in chapter 1 in John, the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the Word of God. Father, that's why you said those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Well, in other words, that means those that believe on the Word of God shall be saved. The whole Word of God from Genesis throughout Revelation. Well, how can we learn it all? Well, you may not learn all of it in your life, especially if you're older, but the Lord sees what we do, and he'll know if you're not just eating the word and keeping it in the sack, but he'll know if you're eating and sowing. And so that's the main thing that you're doing with whatever faith, whatever capacity you have within you. If you're sowing the seed of God, the Lord sees it, he knows it, and he recognizes it, and he says that you'll be blessed. And he blesses you here on earth. The reason that the Lord blesses us, to give us the wherewithal, the finances, or whatever, or the open doors that he gives us, so that we can bless others. And the more we bless others, the more he'll bless us, so that we have the wherewithal, the finances, or the open doors, so that we can bless people by sowing seed into them. Because if we don't sow seed, then we are not at all the children of the Lord, because that's what he called us to do. Jesus showed us what to do, and then he left, and then moved into us so that he could be the continuation, Father, of the incarnation of Christ living in and through many of us. At the time that you were here, Jesus, you were one person that had the power of God in you. When you were here, Lord, you were confined to time and space. There, only one person can only do so much, even with the power of God. And this is why you wanted to, after being crucified, resurrected from death, hell, and the grave, and after your ascension, you wanted to pour your spirit into others so that you could continue your work in and through others, that you would represent yourself in us, millions of people, so that you could be all over the entire earth in human beings. Now, I know that it's possible for you to, if you wanted to, have set it up this way, that you could open the sky and let everybody see you in the sky and shake a rod at them and everybody fall on their face and start worshiping you. But it pleases you, Father, that the world would be saved by the foolishness of human beings with you in them preaching the gospel. That's what really pleases you. So that's the way you set it up, Father, and that's the way that we're going to pray that you anoint us this evening, that the souls in the world that are unsaved will be saved, and that the people that are in the churches that are discouraged, the people in the churches that are at this present time thinking about falling away from you, and I pray that there's none of them out in the world that are listening to me right now, but if there are, Lord, strengthen them, strengthen the church, and give them the desire to take the seed, the Word of God, and sow it into the world so that you can bless them, that they may bless others. Lord, we ask it that you get the straight word to them as well, for you say, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And we know that we bind Satan here on earth by preaching your word, sowing the seed, because that's what is the thing, the very is the very thing that saves people's souls. And it kicks, when you enter them, the devil is kicked out of them. And we know we don't have to wait for the kingdom of heaven, because you stated that the kingdom of heaven is within us. You stated that the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It enters into us, and that's what we're supposed to tell people, is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This word, which is very nigh to us, but very near to us, is to be preached into others, and when we're doing that, the kingdom of heaven is being preached into them. And when they receive the kingdom of heaven, they're saved. They're not going to go to hell in the lake of fire, but they're going to go to the kingdom of heaven where you are, Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And our loved ones that have believed on you and done what you said that they're supposed to do will be there as well, waiting for us. And it makes my heart rejoice to know that my loved ones, if they believe what I say, and they are believing what I told them of your word that you said through me. My dear brother Danny is now with you, and my mother is with you because of what you said in and through me. Lord, do that for those that are in the world and in the church. I ask it, Lord, that you bind Satan in heaven as we bind him here on earth by exposing him, and we expose him by your word. Lord, we ask it, and also by showing people who he is and what you said about him. Lord, we ask that you do that in the mighty name, and bless all of the people. Lord, bless the people that are wrong. We bless them with the word of God. I was ready to end this prayer, but you stopped me from it. Lord, I ask that you save President Bush and the whole administration. And I pray that you save people that are in the Catholic Church, the cult, and in Buddhism, in Mohammedism, in Shintoism, and all the other false religions, and that you open the eyes of the people of Israel. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We know that the Jews are your chosen people, and you'll bless those that bless the Jews. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, this means that we are taking on. If you're a Gentile, you become a spiritual Jew, and you get all the blessings that the Jews will receive. We become spiritual Jews. And that means that, you know, the Jews, money seems to just float right to them. And those that need prosperity, if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ and do what he says, then prosperity was another promise. You promise us salvation. You promise us, Father God, healing, that it's already ours if we receive what you say, and prosperity as well. Dearly beloved, I would that you prosper as your souls prosper. You don't want us to be prosperous for ourselves, but you prosper us so that we can prosper as others. It costs money to be to buy Bibles for people, Messiah books, to do the printing, to pay for this radio. It costs tens of thousands of dollars to be on the radio every month, and we pray, Lord, that people will begin prospering, because that they'll receive you, and that they will not think that we're any money work because we tell people where they can give tithes and offerings overseas and just send the money straight over there. I don't care about your money. I just care about your soul. Want to see your soul saved. We just tithed a lot today to ministries in Africa, and there's poor, starving people over there, there's little children, and we pray that you'll do the same thing. Lord God, we ask that all these things will be accomplished by your might and power, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay, let me hear what it says.
Dear beloved pastor in Christ, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation, to you and all the brethren. This is my first time writing to you. I was deeply touched when I read the mass suicide literature handed to me by a friend. I gave my life to Christ straight away. What I need is some teachings that will strengthen my faith in Christ, a study Bible, some tracts to share with friends.
Well, the study Bibles, there's a lot of them that are fairly good, but I've never found one that didn't have some heresy in it. Most of them preach, once saved, always saved, that you don't have to do the work, just like that judge said, when the Bible says that we're going to be judged by the works that we do or don't do for the Lord. The Lord has called us to work. Amen?
Amen.
And so these people, I don't know what Bible they're reading. They're not. They're just making up their own Bible. And so a study Bible, so I know you study with me, okay? The Lord told me to be the world pastor or teacher for all those of you out there who would like to be in the ministry. I found that all the theological seminaries that I've checked into are more at sowing doubt than they are faith. And it's by faith that we're saved. It's by faith that we're healed. It's by faith that we're prospered. By faith that we go out into the world and do what the Lord said. So many people just eat the word and eat it and eat it, and they never win one soul. And they really don't. And they think that God is going to bless them. But He says that we're to go into all the world and sow this gospel, to preach the gospel, in other words, the seed, to every nation, to every tongue, every creed, that souls might be saved. And if we do, we're saved, and if we don't, we're damned into hell and the lake of fire. Okay, so don't use study Bibles, because there's a lot of fallacy. Even if they're preaching 99% of the truth, and then they tell you, you don't have to do any work. And that's just about what they say. Your soul will go to hell for that, okay? You can't just be an eater or a taker or a user. You have to be used by the Lord. What do you think being used of the Lord is? The Lord requires a lot more of us than to just sit in the church, sing hymns once or twice a week, or even seven or eight times a week, clap our hands and praise the Lord. We have to have the same spirit of Christ in us as was in him here on earth. Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's I pray that he's in you, but if he isn't, you can do that as soon as this program is about to end, because I always, the Lord laid it on my heart to pray and let everybody know what the prayer is that you need to talk to the Lord. Any similar prayer will do. But stay away from these study Bibles and theological seminaries, or it's my late wife used to call them theological cemeteries, because they do more killing of people that God has put on their heart to get into the ministry, they kill, because they show you seven or eight different ways that the scriptures could mean. But if you're in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit tells you exactly the one and only translation of the Bible. There's not two interpretations or translations. The Bible says there's no private interpretation of the Bible. It means exactly what it says. And there's the Lord requires that we seek Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if He sees us doing this, He'll open the scriptures to us so that we're going to be able to sow the proper seed into people. And so don't use study Bibles. Just get a regular Bible. I'll send you a Bible if you want. Okay, and then what?
And I need literature to enlighten me about the Roman religion.
Well, not only the Roman religion. There are many things in the Bible that we need to know of the Lord other than just the Roman religion. Why, there's the Buddhist religion. There's the Muslim religion. There's the true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. And the Word is Christ. We must learn Christ in order to love Him. Because the Lord has a beautiful sense of humor. I remember one time in Las Vegas, Sue and I were standing up looking at these cumulus clouds in the distance. The whole sky was blue with the exception of some clouds over in the distance. They were piled high. And we were holding hands and we were looking up. We just got married. And all of a sudden, the Lord, we were looking down from the clouds on the ground. And the Lord just like gave us a little elbow, a little nudge, letting us know that He was playing with us. I mean, you may find that hard to believe, but it happened. And I swear before God that it happened. There's no point for me to tell you any little story like this if it would get my soul into hell, because on no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. And so we're looking down at the earth. And Susie, I thought, well, you know, I've got bad eyes, maybe, you know. And she says, do you see what I see? And we're still holding hands. And I says, yeah. And she said, what's that? I said, we were looking up at the clouds, and now we're looking down from them. And she squeezed my hands and put her long, sticky nails, so they were like pointy, right into my flesh. And I thought to myself, man, heaven, it's boring up here because we're just on the cloud. It's like on top of the clouds. And is this what heaven is like? But it wasn't. It was just above the clouds. Heaven is fantastic. I mean, the word fantastic is not adequate. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of anyone. The beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love Him and keep His commandments. Well, if we're not supposed to do anything, then why should we keep His commandments? You know, that doesn't make sense. But the whole Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. And that God's going to open the books and see whether we did what He's commanded us to do or what against what He commanded us to do. And He commands us to go into the world and preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
So, you know, don't let anybody kid you. Read the Bible for yourself. Eat the seed and then sow it. Eat the Word of God and then that's not all. That'd be a horrible thing to just eat all the seed so that we wouldn't be able to have a harvest.
Amen.
If you sow the seed and then keep watering the seed, you're going to have a harvest. I mean, just use the parable of you keep all the seed in the bag, and then when you get hungry, just not have enough faith to sow the seed in the ground. Well, if you don't, you're not going to have a harvest. Amen?
Amen.
You can look at food all day long, but if you don't put it in your stomach, in your mouth, and then let it drop down your neck into the stomach, you're going to die. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll die, too, if you don't keep with the commandments of the Lord, because His Word, which is God, tells you to do it. And He says, you better obey. It's because disobeying is the same as witchcraft. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so no study Bibles. That's rule number one. Amen?
Amen.
After you get saved. Then what?
May the good Lord bless you and strengthen you in fullness so that you can change many lost souls to Christ. We are solidly behind you in prayers for the good works you have been doing for the Lord. Keep the faith and stay strong in the Lord. Gilbert from Accra, North Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord, brother. You just keep up the, you just keep distributing literature. Get it out there and keep studying. And don't just eat the word, sow it. Okay, so you can have a harvest. The harvest means that you're going to be blessed. If you want to be blessed, you can't just... A lot of people are sick. You know, they wonder, why are we sick? And here they just study. We study the word and we pray. What? There's more to it. Amen?
Amen.
You got to sow the seed. Then you'll see what happens. Like, for a long time, the people in the church, I figured that they were being the older Christians to the brothers and sisters that came in. But many people were falling away, and I couldn't figure it out. So I checked with them, and they said, nobody reads with us. Nobody prays with us. We send in different requests, and it's like you don't hear them because the people that work around you are not reading them to you. And I says, why are you people not being the older Christians? And I said, Lord, they're not being older Christians. And he told me, you be the older Christian. I said, how? He says, do the recordings and be the older Christian to the entire world. Call yourself world pastor. And so, ever since I did that, the Lord has blessed us millions of times more than we ever were before. And so that proves that I was to sow the seed, not only into the church, but the door opened up for us to be on radio, and now I'm sowing the seed into you. And I pray that you'll receive this message so that you'll do the same. And since then, we are blessed so much that we had to build several buildings to hold the different blessings that come in, and we can't give it out fast enough. It just keeps filling up all the more. So he blesses us so that we can bless others. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want blessing, and then at the same token, he gives you all your needs. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so go ahead.
The next letter is from Maddie Dale, New York. Dear Pastor, they will probably put pray for the peace of Jerusalem on my gravestone if the Lord tarries, but I doubt that. Anyway, I have read what you wrote about the Messiah, and that book is exactly what I need. I work at a hospital, and there are a lot of Jewish friends I have there, doctors mostly, and I have been sharing a little at a time with them.
Okay, the doctors need the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest attorney, Jewish attorney in the whole universe, and he's the greatest Jewish doctor. And so doctors, if you have a problem with you, do what I'm telling you. Read the word and then sow the seed. A lot of people say, well, the seed is giving money to the ministry and all. That isn't the seed. The seed is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
They said, have seed faith. Send us money. No, have seed faith. Receive the word and then distribute it. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not saying that you're not supposed to tithe, because you are. If you don't, you're robbing God. And if you don't, you're robbing yourself, because the Bible says, how can the people be saved if it takes money to be on the air? We're spending like tens of thousands on the radio broadcast. But the seed is, get that seed in you, doctor, and then give it to others. Because people have a tendency to respect you, doctors, even though you don't deserve it. Okay? Now, you've helped a lot of people's bodies, but what the Lord wants you to do is help their souls. And if their souls get saved, their bodies will be healed. And just think, how can God give you a harvest of good health if you don't, for your soul and your body and your spirit, if you don't sow seed yourself? So you do that, and I guarantee that God guarantees, and I back him up 100%, that you'll be healed. Okay, Doc? All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
I have such a pull to Jewish people. It's kind of strange, but I can't help it. And if I could purchase 4 or 5 Messiah books to put around, that would be awesome.
Well, we wouldn't sell you anything. We'll give it to you. Send her 15, 20 of them. Give her 20 and tell her that if she needs more, just go ahead and write to us. If you need 100 or 1,000, let me know. And God will bless you. You're already a person that's sowing the seed. You ate it, and now you say, oh my God, I could win other people's souls with this? If I had it, and she's asking, can I buy it? And you can send a tithe in if you like, but it's not, you know, and we'd appreciate it because we print more Messiah books. But if you didn't have a penny to your name, we'll send it to you. And even if you're a miser and you're hanging on to the money, we'll send it to you also, okay?
Nice.
You skin flint. Okay, then what else?
You
pinch
said
penny. Okay, what else?
You said you have other materials.
Yes, I do. Okay, then what?
I did see a few topics. Can you send me a supply of all of those, too?
Yes, indeed. What else?
Someone also said you had T-shirts with your ministry on it, too. Do you have 1X and 2X for me and my hubby?
Yes, we have 1 and 2X for you and your hubby. And plus we have 2, 3X, 4X, and 5X also. Okay, and if you're bigger than that, we'll go to Omar the Tent Maker. Okay? Cut a hole in the sheet or something. Okay, what else?
I will look forward to hearing from you with the amount to pay, and next month I can send you a check.
Oh, don't worry about sending us money for literature because I won't do that. But if you want to sow the seed, read the books and give it to others, and God will bless you. And if you, we could use all the money in the world, but we're not selling stuff here. Okay, we're not selling the Word of God. It's free. What else?
Thank you so very much. I really have a peace with this, and I am so looking forward to taking advantage in sharing this book to everyone at this hospital. Down the road, I will order several copies to keep on the X-ray counter for patients and employees. Thank you again, most sincerely, your sister in Jesus, Catherine, from Mattydale, New York.
Send her 100 Messiah books, all right? All right, praise the Lord. That just thrill, it makes my soul thrill to know somebody that just wants to get out there and sow the seed. Amen?
Amen.
Souls can be saved. Is there something else?
Yes, the next letter is from Part Harcourt, Nigeria, West Africa.
How many pages is it?
It's one and a half.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor, greetings in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can I possibly thank the Most High enough for the grace, mercy, and anointing that He has bestowed upon your life and ministry? I must not fail to tell you how lots and lots of people have been coming to share their testimonies of salvation, restoration, and blessings through the literature I received for distribution through your ministry right here in my country, Nigeria. I can liken the reception of your literature to giving water to a man that has been in a hot desert for a long while. May the Lord continue to bless you, sir, and the entire members of the ministry worldwide. I must not fail to tell you how meeting a faithful and devoted member of your ministry through the Internet, Brother Doug, has brought untold joy and fulfillment into my life, because it was him that ever told me about you. Since that day I knew your ministry, I knew that this is that ministry God has created me to serve under for the rest of my life. I have been in the ministry for about 17 years now, and a church planter evangelist. I have planted several churches since I began to work in the ministry in the year of 1988. Even now, the Lord is using me to pioneer a work church in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. The church is still much young, and I seek to hand it over to you, since I am committing the rest of my life to serve under you.
You see, this person is a planter of the seed.
Amen.
And that's why the Lord has blessed them so much. And they're part of this ministry now, and part of whatever blessings the Lord gives me, I'm going to pass it on to him or her. And praise the Lord for you, brother or sister. Then what?
Sir, I am fully devoted in the distribution of Christian literature published by you.
She's a sower. He's a sower of seed. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is... I know you have no need of anything except more literature. Amen? More
Amen.
Seed. Send him bags full of seed.
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
I seek to take it to all the states of my federation. I seek to establish distribution centers in the north, south, east, and western parts of this most populous black nation on earth called Nigeria, a place of sin and transgressions, but will be made white by the spotless blood of the Lamb.
Amen, brother.
Even as we get across with the word of salvation through this ministry, already I am embarking on trips to different parts of the nation since the literature has arrived safely. I see Tony Lamo Ministries spreading like wildfire across our land, and I am thrilled. This is awesome. You are so anointed. Your writings are so inspiring. I will move from pillar to post to establish this ministry solidly in my nation, because I am convinced that there are people whose soul's destiny are tied to this ministry. The harvest is truly ripe here, and we, his servants, shall put in the sickle and reap, for the Lord is at hand. Please pray for us that the Lord will protect and provide for us so that we can move in the fullness of Christ, without any fear of intimidation and molestation, even in the core north among the Muslims. I need your approval to officially hand over the church I began to you to be one of the Alamo Christian churches worldwide.
Oh, you have my with great pleasure we do that. I mean, it's like, and I hand over what we have to you, okay? We just hand over the word to each other, all right? And we just joy to hear the responses from you. Amen?
Amen.
It's very encouraging, and I'm sure the people in the radio audience are that are of the Lord are really praising and thanking the Lord for your letter. Then what?
I pray that the Lord will move you to approve this so that I can smoothly coordinate and synchronize my literature distribution activities with my gift and calling of church planting.
Brother or sister, you've got my blessings, and everyone in this church is blessing.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly, and we're going to give the blessings that the Lord has given unto us, unto you and other people like you. We want to get the gospel back, because we know the Lord is coming back to earth again very soon.
Amen.
Okay, we're right in the last few minutes of time, so right on, brother.
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
I pray to the Lord Most High to allow you to have an extension of the church arm of your ministry here, since your ministry is worldwide. This move will also help me to maintain my focus in the ministry. Precisely, the Lord told me that I will do greater exploits if I submit my efforts in the ministry to an apostolate covering and mentorship. I have been praying about this before I met Brother Doug, so when I met him, the baby in my womb leaped for joy when he told me about you. I knew that was the day I had been waiting for, a divine direction and confirmation. I have told so many ministers and saints about you. Please make my joy complete, for the word says, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. I am confidently assured that working under your ministry is what I was born to do. I look forward to hearing from you, sir. Please, I need a reply from you, my father, my mentor, and hero. God be with you, sir, and give us the heathen for an inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for a possession. I am trusting God that we will send offerings to the headquarters in America from here, for a church must take care of the pastor. We believe in giving to a prophet. You are a prophet of God. I remain faithfully yours in his royal service, Pastor Henry, from Port Harcourt, Nigeria, West Africa.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Henry. Everything you desire that we have is yours, all right? And you just go right on. That's wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
This man, you can tell this man is a sower and he's just full of zeal for the Lord. Okay, now Sharon, let's come forward here.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, quote, "For the love of God, for the love of Christ, constraineth us." Constraineth is actually in the original text. The meaning of it is, quote, the rushing of waters.
That's unquote. The original Hellenic Greek text. And Hellenic Greek is the Greeks written and spoken by the Jews of that day. And they are the ones that wrote this Bible that we read today. All right, this was the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he spoke Hebrew and Greek, and he, I believe, spoke Italian as well, for sure. Then what else?
He died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again.
Right. We're not to live unto ourselves. We ask the Lord, bless us. And he says, how does a farmer bless himself? He takes the seed and sows it in the ground. Without sowing the seed, there's not going to be any blessing. So read that last line again.
He died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again.
Okay, so we're not to live for ourselves, we're to live for him. Amen? And Amen. Him wants the seeds to be sowed. And he keeps giving parables all throughout the Word of God. The sower went out to see to sow, and he sowed some seeds here, fell here, and some there on hard ground, shallow ground, rocky ground, and then good soil. So we're not to be concerned or try to figure out who to sow the seed to, the Word to. You just to sow it everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
And God will give the increase. Some of it, like this one fellow that we just heard from, Pastor Henry, yeah, that's good ground. You can tell that's good ground. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so he can't bless us or unless we sow seeds. If the Bible tells us that there's a profit in all work that we do. That's why he says the people that don't work shouldn't prosper. People that don't sow the seed cannot have a harvest. There's no blessing there. So we have to work. Amen?
Amen.
And when people say, well, we don't have to do the work of God, everybody, the Lord has done it all. Brother, sister, that's false doctrine. Amen? That is really damnable doctrine as well. Okay, then what else?
This is for our sakes, not his. That's true love. In other words, these two portions of Scripture tell us that the dying love of Christ is like the rushing waters, actually the rushing of great waters toward us.
And when the Lord's dying on the cross, he's saying, listen to you, I love you. Because if I didn't die and shed my blood for you here on this cross, there's no possible way that you could escape the fires of the lake of fire, and the hell in the lake of fire, or you'd be yelling your head off forever. And so the Lord shows this love that passes knowledge, the Bible said. And so it's like a rushing flow of waters coming from beneath the throne of God, sitting in the kingdom of heaven. It just overwhelms you with the love. Once you read the scriptures enough to be able to understand how much the love the Lord really loves us, and how much he has done it. So I says the Lord has humor. When we were up looking down from heaven, you know, I could tell the Lord was just smiling. And when we looked down at the earth, we were back down again looking up at the clouds. Because I started getting a little bit scared, and I looked down and we're looking up again then. It seemed to me that it was like Peter, when he looked down at the water, he lost faith and we started sinking. And then the Lord grabbed him and pulled him up. Amen?
Amen.
And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, and what the Bible really says, don't get so busy that you want to be a judge. Because what good is you being a judge if your soul's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire? Amen? It's not the hell in the lake of fire. There's nothing on the face of this earth that's worth not having the blessings of the Lord. So we need to focus everything that we have on sowing the word to each other and lifting one another up. It isn't a situation of rules and regulations. It's walking in the Spirit of the Lord, walking in the love of the Lord, the rushing waters, the love that we manifest, that same love unto the brothers and sisters and the people in the world. That's why the Lord tells us to not use weapons. You know, we have a lot of persecution happening in our Los Angeles church. There were three. There was a squad of people that came up there because they want to actually steal our property out there, and they won't give us permits to build nice housing and everything for the brothers and sisters. So they kind of crowded into a little dorm there. We have the finances to be able to build something, but they won't give us a permit. And they came up there with bulletproof vests. And we have no guns. We don't have any pea shooters. Never have, never will. We don't have any slingshots, or we don't even have toy guns on the property. And they came up there. Buster was out there and met with them and our attorney and a man that is a construction man and several of the other brothers and sisters were there, and they were just, boy, they had police with them and everything, like they did Jesus, you know, where they came to crucify him. And this is just unbelievable. Read that last line.
In other words, these two portions of Scripture tell us that the dying love of Christ is like the rushing waters, actually the rushing of great waters toward us, compelling us to consecrate ourselves to God and to live for Him beyond our own natural control.
Right, so we must have super added on to the natural. Because, you know, most people would be frightened away if all these people came up and it looks as though they think that, you know, we would do something. And they've done these things to us for years and no one ever protested or anything. We agreed with the adversary quickly, as the Bible says. And they're just trying to conjure up something on us again. So I'll be out in Radio Land, and those of you that we minister to and those that are partners with us, pray for us that this the Lord will undertake with this situation. I see my time is up. And so here, Sharon, is to give you four different ways how to receive program 185. Please specify if you want an audio cassette or a CD. And remember, everything is postage and paid. Everything is paid for you. Okay, go ahead and tell them.
You can go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so those of you that really want to be blessed by the Lord, He wants to bless you so bad, and He has an abundance. The kingdom of heaven is filled full of blessings, and He will open the windows of heaven and pour out so many blessings on you, you won't even have a place to store them all if you just become a worker for Him. And listen, just say this prayer so that you can be saved. Just say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy." Say this to God: "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God, that Jesus died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says that You will turn no one away. All that call upon the Lord shall be saved. So therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just keep praising and thanking the Lord, and start learning the word. Get some of the literature that I've written, and lead people to the radio broadcast. That will be that you're actually helping people, like this brother in Africa is doing. He's leading people to the Lord through the literature. So you don't have to be a preacher. Just give these soul-winning messages to people. Okay, so if you'll do that, God is going to bless you more than you realize. Till then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.